Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Recruiting Animal here again. Maureen Cherie. She's on at 1 o'clock with her telephone sourcing show. More about that later. Right now, at the start of the show, before I really get going, I want to pay a note of personal gratitude to David Bulldoza Mendoza. And let me say that name again. I know he's going to hear it, and I know he wants to hear it twice. David Bulldoza Mendoza, I didn't ask Dave for any favors at all. No, I didn't. But of his own accord, on his own, he put me on a list of open networkers, and that has added about 500 or more people to my LinkedIn network. Yes, it has. He did that for me. I don't know why I'm excited. I was already over 1,000, but really, it's gone up about 50% since then. Most of the people are recruiters, but through them, I get access to other people who might be good for me. So thank you, Dave. I have never seen a demonstration of LinkedIn networking power like this before, and I personally find it very inspiring. But Dave, let me ask you this. The other day, I received an invitation via you from a guy named Stalin. His first name is Stalin. And I have to admit, I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't want to be rude, Dave, but I found it repulsive. He might as well call himself Hitler. And I know I wouldn't approve it then. Well, but this guy is in India. Let me give you some qualifiers. This guy is in India. And I know that during the Cold War, India was an ally of the Soviet Union because you guys in the United States were an ally of Pakistan, right? But you know what? I don't really care about the geopolitical reasons for this guy's name. And I don't care how dumb his parents were a long time ago. If my parents named me Stalin, the least I would do is get a nickname. How about Lefty? What's wrong with that? It still shows what side of the fence you're on. So I'm going to say it here and now. I'm sorry, Stalin. I don't accept your invitation. Your invitation is not going to be accepted by me. First, you got to get some brains and change that stupid name of yours. And listen, any of you other guys who are named Pol Pot or Idi Amin, don't come knocking at my door either, because I won't let you in. But there is somebody knocking at my door who I'm going to welcome with open arms. She's a lovely little lady with a hillbilly name. Rayanne Trumbo knows a lot about startups, and she's going to speak to me about them. The Recruiting Animal on the number one show in gung-ho radio, The Recruiting Animal Show!
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Oh, thank goodness. She's not too skinny and she's not too fat. She's a real humdinger, and I like it like that. Rayanne, Rayanne, should I tell everybody that you stood me up before? And I'm man enough to admit that I was starting to get a complex because I thought I might have to see a psychiatrist. So many of my guests were starting to bail on me. Rayanne, only two things kept me from seeing one. Number one, I hate psychiatrists. And number two, what do they know about radio?
Exactly.
That's right. I mean, I'd be sitting there 8 months looking at the guy, neither of us saying a word. How's that going to help me? You know what I'm saying, Rayanne?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I'm glad you do. It's not your time to talk, Rayanne. Did you listen to the show last week? Jimmy tried to take control, but we'll have none of that today.
Got it.
I ask a lot of rhetorical questions. You don't answer those, okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, what was I talking about? Psychiatrist. Anyway,
psychiatrist.
I decided to persist on my own. Rayanne, come on. I decided to persist on my own. I'm here today. You're here. That means I'm a real man. My reputation is redeemed. So let's get going. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I got a question for you. Are you
okay.
related to Dalton Trumbo, the famous blacklisted scriptwriter?
No, but I have been asked that often.
Okay.
No, I'm not
I would not kick you off the show if you were, because
That's
you didn't
okay.
kill anybody, and you didn't name your kid Stalin either, did you?
No.
Good for you, Rayanne. Good for you.
Thank you.
Now, Rayanne, as you know, I've been studying your LinkedIn profile, right? And you've got a lot of endorsements there telling us what a wonderful person you are. Don't feel inhibited, Rayanne, just because I told you not to talk when I'm talking, okay? You talk whenever you want. But just
okay,
I want
thanks.
You to know that the recruiting animal doesn't have any endorsements on LinkedIn because they kicked me off their site. They said I wasn't a real human being.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, but let's keep going. Let's keep going, Rayanne. So let's get right to the point. I've been talking way too much. Okay? It's true. It's true. We're going to talk
I love
about
the sound of your voice.
We're going. Thank you, Rayanne. Thanks. We're going to talk about startups today, aren't we?
Sure.
Okay. What do you mean, sure? That's the topic, Rayanne.
Look, we will talk about whatever you want to talk about. This
great,
is your show.
Great. Does anyone want to say anything to Rayanne before we get started? I opened up everybody's mic. Anybody want to say hello?
Animal, this is Maureen.
Maureen. You know why,
hey.
Rayanne, you know why Maureen's
talking?
Hey, Rayanne,
hi.
Hey, good morning, Maureen.
How are you?
Hey, good morning, Maureen. You know what,
I've got to tell you something.
No, hold on, Rayanne.
Let me say something. Jason's having trouble hearing. We're running a chat over on Recruiting Blogs.
He's having trouble hearing? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Tell him to buzz off. Listen, I got to do the show. Listen.
Okay.
Listen. I got to think Maureen's not she's not altruistic or just being nice. And she's got something she wants to promote. That's why she said hello first. She's got a fantastic online chat at magicmethod.ning.com. It's a stupid URL. But that's it. And
wow.
I've never seen anything like it. Well, I'm sorry, Rayanne. I'm going to take some of your time for Maureen.
That's
we
okay.
can do this. We can do this at 1 o'clock.
No,
on Talk
nobody's course. Listening then. Maureen, you know that. So, she's got a show. I'll just be very brief if you let me talk.
Go
she's
ahead.
She's got a show. Anybody can go. It's not a show. It's a conversation. You can just talk to her like on instant message. Ask any question about telephone sourcing, and she knocks all the answers out of the ballpark. My proof is that one day she got cut off, right? And the conversation came to a direct stall. People were asking questions nobody else can answer that could answer them. So then she called me and was using me as her proxy to type for her, and the conversation started going again. So magicmethod.ning.com, Tuesdays and Thursdays, Eastern Daylight Savings Time at 12 noon. Okay, Maureen?
Thank you.
Okay. Rayanne, tell us about the startup. Don't mention the name of the company, but tell us your situation
sure.
there.
I worked for basically a startup that did startups. They took university technology, transferred that technology to their own company, and then built businesses based on those particular technologies. So it was kind of an incubator setting. However, there was a lot of hands-on management that took place. We just didn't set up shop somewhere, set a manager up, give them the technology, and say, go to it.
Okay,
we
so there was
manage
a,
the
so
whole.
you were recruiting Rayanne for a number of startups who were all
correct.
In the same building under the aegis of one major
that
startup
is
funder. Is that right?
Which was a startup itself. That is correct.
Okay. And here's what they said about you on LinkedIn.
Oh,
in
no.
spite of limited resources and below market salaries, she identified and hired dozens of high caliber people. How did you do that? I can't hire anybody under salary. I can't hire anybody over salary some of the time.
Well, as you know, startups are very risky. And that tends to excite some people. A lot of people view that as a negative, but other people recognize that Google was once a startup, that Apple was once a startup, and that if you get in on the ground floor, there is great potential for financial
yeah,
reward
hold on.
Later
you know
on.
What? That sounds like a sucker's line to me. I mean,
okay.
What percentage of startups fail?
98%.
Okay. Well, It's like buying a lottery ticket, right?
Right.
Why would
it
I
is.
Take $20,000 less money?
Sure.
Just to buy a ticket, like it.
Well, no, and nobody buys lottery tickets, right?
Well, yeah. Okay, you got me. You got me, but it's only $5 or a buck. We got a million of them.
Sure.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
Some people say I'll commit a year to this. I could give a year at a lower salary if there's potential for a payoff.
Give us an example of a time you sold somebody who really they took less than they could get somewhere else. You had to sell them on the idea, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure. I had actually somebody was brought to the company by the vice president. We were looking for a director of sales for one of the startup companies. It was in the automotive industry. And he had lots of opportunities elsewhere, but was so highly motivated by what he had heard about the company. And I sat him down on a couple of different occasions and just told him exactly what we had in mind for the future, that we wanted somebody of his caliber, and that there was potential for great financial award and movement upward, potential to move into a CEO position should this company spin off from ours. And so he was very enthusiastic about that, had managed accounts as a salesperson, but had not had a director position. And so when you're with a smaller company, you can offer those titles as
okay,
opposed
so this, the,
to
the,
salary.
Okay, so the lure, the bait there was a huge career advancement opportunity.
Career
right?
advancement as far as title goes, and then potential for that financial reward.
And how much money was he earning when he came to you?
200 plus.
And how much were you offering him?
100.
No way. Half?
Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
That's amazing.
It is
right.
amazing. Okay, but it sounds like, to tell you the truth, that he was brought in by a friend who had actually sold him on the company before you got to him. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
But
do you have
was,
any? What, he, you know, Maureen, not Maureen. Rayanne. It's the same kind of name, I guess. Anyway, listen.
Every director position that I recruited for,
yes.
I went through the same process.
Okay. No. Do you have anybody that you brought in yourself, Rayanne, that you had to sell
sure.
from scratch? Give me an example.
Another director of sales for another startup company, electronic. It was an electronic paper.
Yeah.
That had multiple opportunities, and he kept calling me. He called me over and over again. We were not ready to hire because the company was not ready yet to that point.
Rayanne, are you not listening to me?
No, no, no.
I want to know. I want to know somebody you had to sell, not someone you had to fend off.
No, I sold him first, but then the company, because it was not ready to hire.
Okay, how did you sell him? How did you get him that hot?
Well, I just looked at his resume, gave him a call, told him about what the company was doing, where we saw ourselves within the next 2 years, and what the potential was for this position, and again, the potential for advancement. And I was very enthusiastic about the parent company, and so I sold that first. It was,
you know what? I got to tell you, you're not making it sound very sexy to me right now. It just sounds, come on.
Okay, wait, let me start over.
You must have got this guy was mouth-watering for your job. I can't even get the words out properly.
Well,
he was really excited.
I'm not using my
well,
sexy
you told
voice
me,
right now.
You're not using your what? Your spidey sense?
My sexy voice. Would you like me to use my sexy voice?
No, I don't want you. Well, maybe
oh,
that's how
okay.
you got him. It was all guys you were recruiting, eh? Let me go to the
no,
crowd
I recruited
here.
Women as well.
Does anybody have a comment? She's not making it sound that exciting, is she? Anybody want to chime in, please?
I think this stuff's fascinating.
It's
yeah,
very
yeah.
exciting.
Okay. It is very
at, what, how come all you Americans are chickens? They call in and they never want to say a word. I can't believe it. Okay.
What do you want what do you want me to say?
Is this Carl?
No, this is Work Farce.
Work Farce.
Oh, Work Farce.
Work Farce. You know, everybody
Hi,
says, Rand.
Hi.
Work Farce.
Yeah.
Yes.
Work Farce.
Work Farce loves you, okay?
Now, no, I love Work Farce.
Okay, I do too. Everybody says he's got a sexy voice, okay? I've heard it from, you know, a number of people who listen
he
to this
does.
Show. Okay, he's got a sexy voice. Now, Work Farce. Is she making a sexy offer there? That's what I want to know. Is that enough to get somebody calling you back day and night to let them work for your company? Didn't sound like it to me.
I think it really depends on the person. I mean, obviously it's working for her. Otherwise, she wouldn't be on the call today.
Yeah, but she wants to explain it to us. Tell us, Rayanne, one more time before I let go of this one. How did you get these guys excited about a company where they were taking up to half of what they were earning before?
I was excited about the company. First and foremost, I loved my job. First and foremost, I loved my job. I loved what I was doing. I loved the vision that our company had in place. And I was very enthusiastic every time I picked up the phone, every time I called somebody, every time I sent an email, every time I posted a position on our website or on Craigslist or on the ladders or any other online resource. I was very excited, and that came across in my writing. It comes across in my voice, and people want to hear more. And there were many offerings that our company had besides salary. We had an in-house training program that was equivalent to a mini MBA course. It was 10 weeks of training that included 30 business books that you had to read and show up to class weekly and report back and interact with other members of your company. We had training classes that included admin assistants and VPs of finance within the same class. So it was a very exciting company to be with.
That's like a one-house schoolroom, right, where you got grade six.
Exactly.
Kindergarten, same thing.
Now, you're helping each other out.
Didn't those administrative assistants hold the VPs back?
No.
Okay.
Because we were all learning new things. We were learning about startups. And the majority of people that I hired had not been in this startup situation before.
Okay, so 10 weeks of full-time training? Is that what you're saying?
Not full-time. No. Not full-time. It was 4 to 10 hours a week.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
but
okay.
It was you were expected to do half of that outside of your
30
work
books. Okay, 10 weeks. Boy, you had to be a reader. Let me say one thing. Sounds like you were a true believer. Even though you didn't name your kid Stalin, you were a true believer.
I was a true believer.
That's what gave you the power of conversion. Is that right?
I agree, yes.
Okay. There's
I loved what I did.
Why did you love it? You liked the course. You liked the program.
I loved the job. There was a particular vision of their...
What vision? Don't just say vision. Say
there
what
is
vision
a better. Well, the vision, the tagline for the company was, there is a better way. There's a better way to do business.
That sounds
a better way
to me.
Excuse
Go
me?
Ahead. Sorry. I'm just joking. The better world used to be a slogan. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
A better way to do business, a better way to manage people, a better way to bring technology to market. And that was our goal. We were striving for the better way.
And how did they get you to join the company? By that?
Yes, actually. I actually was interviewing at a couple of different companies, search firms, and this was the in-house job that I was interested in. And I went back several times, interviewed with every vice president, sat down with the CEO. And I just left. Every time I left there, I was so excited about what they were doing that when it came time to take the job, I took the position that was like $65,000 less a year than what I had been offered at another company.
Okay, I just want to thank Workfarce for coming in there, even though he didn't say anything worthwhile. thank you.
Thank you,
Workfarce. You're giving up to the plate.
You're welcome.
Okay, but we got her, you know, indirectly you got her to say the important stuff. There, let me ask you something, Rayanne. That MBA, quasi-MBA course,
sure.
What was the most important thing about it for you? What did you
for
get
me,
out of it? Yes.
We had an opportunity to read many books, things like The Tipping Point, what else, The Fred Factor, all of these, The Purple Cow by Godin, all these really, very much nice little fluffy marketing books. But then we got into books like The Diffusion of Innovation by Everett Rogers, The Fifth Discipline by Peter Senge, and a book that personally changed my life was called No Excuse Leadership by Brace Barber. And it was just a nice little book, easy read, but it was written about experiences that different trainers and individuals had that were teaching at the Army Ranger School. And these were everyday situations that were very trying. And these folks made it work and learned something from it. And I was going through a time in my life where, okay, financially, I wasn't really stable. Personally, I wasn't really stable. And I was struggling with, do I go back to school? Do I get my MBA? What do I do? And I thought, if these guys can do it, so can I. My day is nothing like crawling under wire in a mud pool, you know. So I can do it. And I went back to school. Based on that book and that book alone.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I can't remember the name of it. What was it? No Excuse?
No Excuse Leadership by Brace Barber.
If anybody wants it, I'm sure it's on
Google.
It's
a good read.
Okay. Now,
it's not difficult, like Diffusion of Innovation.
Okay. But listen, not every recruiter on the inside can be as enthusiastic about his or her company. Am I right?
Right.
Okay, you were using your own enthusiasm. Not every company offers a course like this, right? Although maybe, let me ask you this. Should every startup, in order to lure people, offer this kind of exciting education?
Absolutely. If it takes hiring a manager of training that is only in charge of something like this, you know, if you're interested in the Myers-Briggs, if you're interested in Discover Your Strengths, if you're interested in systems thinking class, if you're interested in anything like that and you're having your company participate in that, it is a wonderful way of bringing people together and learning from each other, much like workshops. When you attend a workshop and you have a panel sitting there, it's a lot like that. And it's a way to bring people together instantly. I mean, you're put through this grueling course where you have to read these books. I mean, it was a requirement.
Okay.
Nobody got out.
I got it. Listen, how could JD not hear me? I was screaming at the top of my lungs. Anyway, okay, so they should have this course. It costs, sounds to me like it costs too much money for a startup company to do, but let's just leave it at that. That's what you believe. But not every recruit. Rhianne, it's my turn, okay? Not every recruiter is going to love his company that much. How can an internal recruiter sell a company that isn't offering something like that? Or if a person is in a startup, do they have to be a believer? Do they have to, you know, be a sucker for that vision?
I don't think you can succeed without being a believer in a startup. You have to have that because there are so many other things that are not there. The money isn't there to begin with. The initial culture that a company that sometimes takes years and years for a company to have is not there. You have to believe in where you're going. You have to believe in that path.
Okay, so let me ask you something about the money. First of all, nobody's getting well paid. They're all buying it for the, you know, promise of the future.
Correct.
But what about just your own expenses for your budget? Did you have a budget?
No. I had no budget. When I started, I came to the company with an account through the Ladders, so it was still a part of the Ladders when it was free to be a part of the Ladders.
Yep.
And I was able to keep that account going for several months, and Craigslist was free at the time. So I was using a lot of Craigslist. I was doing some direct recruitment, which typically in-house and corporate recruiters do not have time to do.
So you were sourcing people directly in other companies?
Yes.
Okay. And how large was your recruiting team in this firm?
It was me to begin with, and I finally went to executive leadership and said, I need help. Can I take a couple of admins and train them and use them, you know, 4 to 10 hours a week? And eventually,
speak a little louder, Rayanne. A little louder, please.
I'm sorry. It was only me to begin with. And
okay,
then eventually I went to executive leadership and said, I have to have help. And so I took a couple of admin assistants, neither one of them that had recruitment experience, and trained them how to recruit.
Okay, so you're telling us that it's a great place to work culturally. What's the downside? The money? Is that it?
Yeah, you know, there are negatives and positives to startups. And interestingly enough, all the negatives are also the positives. So you have the risk. It's very risky. So that's a negative for a lot of people. But it's also a positive for a lot of people because it's adventurous. It's exciting. It's fun. You never know what's going to happen.
Hold on a second. Let me ask the crowd. Is that fun? Any recruiters here who can spell someone on adventure where they might lose their job in the near future? No, nobody says anything.
It worked for me, you know.
Okay, well, do you have an example?
Who
was excited like you were about the risk?
I brought in my very first hire when I started because training was so important with the company. The first requisition I received was for a manager of training.
Yeah.
And I met with several people, probably had three that were corporate recruiters, big-time corporate recruiters, that were making over $100,000 a year. The position paid $40,000. The position paid $40,000 a year. And I had a woman that had just come back from India and had started off with Apple, and she walked into our building for her first interview and said, I have to tell you, this feels like Apple back in the 80s when they had plastic hanging on the walls and there was nothing. I can feel the buzz. I can feel the excitement.
Okay, you got
the really
oddball
crowd.
Here. She just came back from India. She was in an ashram or something, and she thought, okay, fine. Good. That's my answer for you. Okay. Listen here. It says, back to LinkedIn.
Okay.
It is not common for startups to hire a recruiting manager. They usually hire on the basis of need and relationship alone, just like that guy brought in his buddy, the VP of engineering. However,
yeah, he just interested him. He didn't make the hire. He didn't.
Okay, I'll give you credit for that. I want to finish reading this, okay? Rayanne,
yes,
it's a quote. It's about you. It's nice.
All right, thank you.
However, with the right people in place, the chances of a startup failing are reduced by half. So that means they don't usually hire recruiters. They make a lot of kooky hires is what I get out of that. But if
right.
they hire a smart person like you to go in there and sell people on the job and, I guess, identify the right people and select the right people and advise the executives,
right.
it really helps. So
right.
do you have any recommendations about recruiting policies for people who run startups?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's imperative that you bring somebody in.
Can we take the
job?
Word absolutely out of the English language?
Okay.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes, I think that having an in-house recruiter, somebody that can sit down daily and speak with, say, the vice president of engineering who's hiring 10 engineers, and ask him, what specifically are you looking for, as opposed to just putting an ad out there. When an engineer doesn't have time, a vice president of engineering doesn't have time when he's trying to get five different startups running, to conduct all these preliminary interviews and to try and decide for himself, it makes his job easier and it makes my job easier, and then you'll hire the right people. If you don't have time, you're not going to make the right hire. You'll hire based on
So paying an extra salary for a recruiter is a cheap way, insurance policy for a company that's in a bad situation to begin
yes.
with, right?
Yes.
It's ironic. By paying a little more money, they'll
right.
have a better future. Okay.
Well, when I left, we had virtually no turnover when
but
I left
how
the
many
company.
People were in the company when you started?
When I started, there were 17.
And when you left?
70, just under 69.
And how
70?
Many people did you hire while you were there?
I hired 54.
Oh, really?
While I was there. Yes.
A lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
All engineers?
No, not all engineers. There were admin assistants, there were vice presidents, there were engineers, there were chemists, there were research assistants. It was a good mix. And I
okay.
came from an executive search firm prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, you did, eh?
Yes.
No, you went inside. Okay.
I went inside.
Back to LinkedIn. Rayanne knows recruiting. Did you pay these guys to say this?
No.
Rayanne knows recruiting better than anyone I have worked with in 25 years. Very outgoing and persuasive in bringing in new talent. So is that just referring back to, you know, your missionary zeal?
Yes.
Okay.
I loved my job.
But do you still have that zeal now that you're no longer in that situation?
Yes.
What
I,
is it? Is it just your personality?
It might be my personality, but also I really strive very hard to understand each position that I represent and the company and that particular company's vision so that when I execute a search, it comes off that way. When I'm talking to candidates, when I'm talking with clients, when I'm representing my own company and talking to clients, they understand and can hear my enthusiasm and want me to do the work for them.
Okay, but, you know, not every job is great. And maybe it's great for somebody if you want to take that approach. Okay. Okay, well, let me go back to this.
It better
what about
be
the
great
difference?
Or you won't be successful.
Okay. What
you
about the
You have to
difference?
Make it great.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe that's what, you know, I have a friend, the funny banker. He says all sales is lies. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay.
No.
I could make a case that that's true. But let's move on to something else. You moved from outside, executive search in-house. You want to tell us about what the difference is, something like that? Anybody can pipe up at this point if they want to, okay, who's made the same move.
The main difference for me was I gained a really in-depth understanding of how important, I know you hate this word, how important fit is. When you are hiring for somebody that's going to be working in the cubicle three doors down from you, it's a lot different than hiring somebody that you're never even going to see. You know, you're conducting a phone interview, you're setting on-site interviews up with the hiring manager that you're working with remotely. That's very different than hiring somebody that's going to be sitting in a training class with you. You're a little bit more in tune with what the company wants and what the company needs. A good fit is imperative, and I learned that lesson when I was an in-house recruiter. And so
let's say someone's using an external recruiter and they find somebody who fits the spec and
right.
they like the person on the phone, they send them out to you. What should the internal person – the internal person is going to make the call, though, right?
Right. The final defining factor is how well they do in that interview and whether or not they connect with the hiring supervisor, whoever they report to directly or work with daily.
Okay. Okay. But what now that you're back, you're external again?
Yes, I am.
We don't know what you do. Want to tell us?
I am a recruiter working specifically in the software industry, hiring
mm-hmm.
sales professionals and sales engineers.
Okay,
you're
working
management.
For an executive search firm now or a recruiting firm? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and
so you went back to this, but do you feel that you really don't have as good a take on the candidates and the way they fit into the client company as you did before?
I brought that with me. That was a skill that I learned.
Well, what do you mean? You're not sitting beside the guy anymore. You don't know the people intimately
right.
like you did when you worked there.
But I have a better understanding of that and how to get that out of somebody before – being an in-house recruiter, when I'm the one scheduling the interviews for myself, I became more selective about who I interviewed and didn't just send anyone over. So I
okay,
learned
so
to, I have learned and brought that with
me. You, let me get to the point, Rianne. Do you ask the client now any special questions that you didn't ask before that will reveal the kind of needs they have in terms of the people they want to work with, et cetera?
Sure. I ask a lot of questions now. I want to know everything.
Give us some examples. Come on.
Tell me the type of person that this person will be reporting to. Tell me about the team. Tell me how often you meet. Do you want somebody that's enthusiastic about continuing education? Do you want somebody that has specific experience in this product line? Do you want somebody that is interested in working remotely or relocating eventually or moving up? Do you want somebody that has territory experience? Do you want somebody that has only experience working from home? Do you want somebody that only has experience working from an office?
Okay, you know what? Those sound like different kinds of questions. The question, tell me about the team. Tell me about the hiring manager.
Right.
What kind of things are you looking for in those open questions?
Well, when you ask those questions,
fight with me a little. Come on, don't feel. I may be feeling bad. I'm pushing you around. Talk a little louder, will
you? You're pushing me around. I'll push you right back.
Yeah, come on. I'd like to hear it.
you're actually trying to find out the type of personality without coming out and saying, "What personality type do you want?"
Why don't you want to say that?
I think because they won't tell you exactly. I think they'll say, well, we want somebody outgoing. Well, I need more than that. I need more than somebody who's outgoing. I need to know, do you want somebody that likes to be micromanaged? Do you like somebody that likes total autonomy? What are you specifically looking for? And so if you ask what you're specifically looking for, they'll give you a two-word answer. I want more than a two-word answer. So I will fill up 3 pages on a yellow pad of what they're looking for.
Yellow pad? Don't you have a computer?
Yes, but I old school.
Okay. Anybody else want? I'm just going to give the audience it's not the audience. The audience is millions out there. I just want to let you know. But there's only about 10 people here. Anybody want to say anything to Rianne at this point? Workforce, you're welcome to speak, even though you're not a recruiter.
Oh, I appreciate it, but no, Rianne's doing a great job.
Okay.
You know, my favorite question to ask Animal is, and I save it for the end of my interview process, is, tell me about yourself. And by the time we get through all the technical stuff, they're exhausted and they're usually flabbergasted by the question. A lot of recruiters start with that question. I wait till the very end. Tell me about yourself.
Oh, so that's
and,
your trick.
Well, what
hey,
do you
like
mean?
A negotiating technique. You get them tired and then you hit them with the big one. Is that it?
Sure. Sure. Then you find out who they really are.
Okay. What do they say?
Well, typically the answer is, well, what do you want to know? Just that. What do you want me to know? What haven't you shared thus far? Tell me about your personal life, if you would like. Tell me about your viewpoints, if you would like.
Is that legal?
Tell me about
about the personal life?
If they want.
Okay.
If they choose to share it, sure.
Okay. What else
can
we talk about startups? Anything else? It says here that you actually lead sing-alongs in your company.
What's that?
Usually I like to sing on the show, but I don't feel like it now. Maybe somebody in the crowd. They don't have any guts. What song would you like? If we were going to sing a song right now, what would it be?
probably something from Little Mermaid. I have daughters, so.
Little Mermaid? I don't know anything from Little Mermaid.
Well, see, then you can't join in.
Yeah, okay. So what should we talk about next? Startup personality, did we cover that?
I think we covered startups.
Because that's what you were recruiting for. What is the difference? Okay, a startup personality, that's a risk-oriented personality, essentially,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
Okay.
Somebody that can see beyond. So somebody that's strategically minded works well in a startup.
You know what? It's a sucker. That's what it is. Now,
okay.
That's what it sounds like to me.
It's
okay.
Not a sucker.
So
it's somebody who's very smart.
Would you advise any recruiter to work in a startup? I don't see the real plus. It sounds very exciting.
For me, it was the single greatest working experience of my life.
Tell us, we're going to wrap up the startup stuff with that. Why was it?
I developed incredible friendships because we were in a really intense environment where there were deadlines every day reporting to CEOs, reporting to VPs. And because it was a smaller environment, you didn't get away with anything. Somebody was in your office or in your face every moment. So you wore several hats. And so I learned more about recruiting in that position than in any other position I've held. And the friendships and the mentors that came into my life have been and are still and will carry on through the rest of my life.
I noticed you're not in a startup anymore, Rhianne. Is there a reason for that?
Well, like I said, 98% of all startups fail.
Yes.
And we had, when I left the company, there were seven individual startups under the umbrella of the main company. And when I left, four of those had failed. And so funds were getting tight, and there was no chance for me to receive any type of recruitment dollars, and recruiting was becoming very difficult. And I had been given requisitions for 30 more positions, and I was told 130 new more hires over the next year. And I didn't see how that could possibly happen.
Do they say the F word a lot in startups? Is it used more often there than other companies?
The F word?
Yeah.
Not in the startup that I worked in.
Oh, really? I feel like using it on the show, but I'm not sure if I should. Go ahead.
I use it personally. It is the right time. There's a place
for that. No, but I mean,
you said
there's a lot. There is a place. I mean, if someone talks like, anyway, I won't go into that. But I don't want to get
I actually had an
but,
experience
you know,
very
you want to have
funny.
A little pepper in your talk. Go ahead.
Well, that can be bad, too. And I've actually shared this, and I wrote a blog about it on recruiting blogs. Mm-hmm. I had an experience where during an interview, we flew somebody in for a director of sales position, and she had some spicy talk during the interview, and it did not go well.
Really? That knocked her out?
Excuse me?
That knocked her out? That was the knockout blow?
Yes, it was a director position. She was going to be working very closely with universities and CEOs with other companies. And if this is how she spoke and acted in a situation where you're supposed to be on your best behavior, how is she going to act in when she gets used to this job and really likes it and is laid back? So.
Okay. Yeah, and you couldn't tell over the phone that she talked like that? You had to fly her all the way in?
No, she did not. She did not talk like that over the phone.
Now, I'll bet that wouldn't come out in one of the video interviews either. You know where
No. I think people would be very mindful about how they speak, how they look.
Okay.
And it was actually over lunch. So in the office interview that I conducted with her in-house,
I don't know
over
if that's
the table,
fair. Oh, come on, over lunch, that's off the record, isn't it?
No, we were meeting with the. She was meeting with the vice president. That was her interview with the vice president over lunch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I always worry about you're going for lunch with someone. They have to eat and talk to you at the same time. Isn't that absurd?
It is absurd. And my advice to any candidate that's invited to a lunch interview: do not eat.
Do not. Well, okay. Why? What about just suggesting to the client or the potential employer? You know what? It's just awkward. Why don't we do it in your office? That's
well.
Bad,
why
right?
do you think they schedule a lunch interview typically?
I don't know. They're
well,
stupid.
I can tell you in a startup, it's because there's no time during the day.
Oh.
That's the only time.
Okay. And if they don't have the money, where do they take it? McDonald's?
For the right candidate, we'll take them to a nicer place.
Okay. I'm just going to give it.
But I have done an interview at Wiener Schnitzel, so.
I don't know what that is. We don't have it here.
Oh, it's a hot dog restaurant. So.
Oh. It wasn't one of those trucks on the street selling them with.
There you go.
Them, eh?
There you go.
Okay, because I was in a restaurant last week and splashed butter on myself. I don't know how I did it, but it didn't look very good for me.
No,
anyway,
that's not good.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Anybody want to say something? I know you don't, but I'll just give it a try. It's how the show works. Anybody want to say something to Rayanne at this point that she's
sure,
wrong?
Sure do.
Who's that?
It's Charles with Apple Wireless.
Who?
Charles Moore with Apple Wireless.
Okay. You want to talk a little louder, Charles?
Can you hear me now?
Well, can you a little louder talking to the phone?
Let's see.
Oh, okay, just give it a go if you can. Charles, you want to say something to Rayanne. Go ahead.
I agree with Rayanne to a degree. Every sales position, sales marketing, especially sales, or consultant, because I place a lot of permanent consulting positions too, I actually tell my client to actually do a lunch interview. I want them to do a lunch interview because deals are done over lunch and dinner. And I have had candidates that stink during the food interview. They have bad manners or they can't negotiate.
That's exactly right.
They can't walk, talk, and eat at the same time. And, you know, absolutely, I want those guys eliminated. That are
so that's like a situational interview, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You put them in the work environment.
If you're in sales, business development, or you're a consultant, and you can't do the deals over lunch or dinner, then you don't qualify.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Rayanne, I assume, sounds like you agree with him. Is that right?
I do, which is why I say don't eat as the candidate.
Okay. They don't get insulted if you don't eat their food, right?
No.
Okay. They're dropping off already, Maureen. We must be getting close to your show.
You know, I've got something to throw in that relates to that in some respects. I hired a gentleman that
this
was...
This is the work farce again.
It is, yes. Somebody that was of a very strict religious faith and could not imbibe alcohol, couldn't eat certain things, so on and so forth. And
he was of my persuasion. Go ahead, though. Let's talk.
So does that have any – I mean, have you – in your experiences, has that, you know, raised eyebrows and caused people to kind of take pause, if you will?
No, and actually the environment that I worked in, the startup situation, that was actually embraced. The CEO was very religious. And so we had several people that were of many different faiths. One individual I can think of in particular that asked if he could come in late on Wednesday so that he could go to a prayer meeting with his family every Wednesday. And it was fully embraced. What I have experienced is individuals that tend to preach in the workplace. That's not acceptable. So...
Okay,
you have to be really careful about that.
But if someone's kosher and you take him the Wiener Schnitzel and he says, no thanks, I'm not even having a drink of water, you're not going to get insulted? Is that what...
No, I prefer, like I said, I don't think the candidate should eat.
Okay.
I just think it's better if you just ask for water or a cup of coffee.
The answer is, if a guy's wearing a yarmulke, a little crash helmet, take him to a delicatessen, okay? Everything's settled.
Yeah, that's probably a tipping point right there.
That's a tipping point. Okay, I didn't read the book. I read the reviews. In-depth networking. You say you're a specialist. What is that?
It's beyond sourcing. So going beyond just sourcing. That's
I know Maureen's going crazy to hear something like that. Tell her what you're talking about. What do you mean?
Well, for me, I have a personal line, a guideline for myself that I leave probably at least 5 voicemails, and I want to talk to the person live at least 3 times.
Let me ask you, I used to do that. Once I did a search for one of the big Deloitte & Touche. They had an executive search department. I was working
mm-hmm.
with them, and we had to recruit audit managers, and they were really hard to get. And my project manager there, she said to me, call 5 times. And I got to tell you, they did call me back after the 5th call.
Yep.
They weren't happy. They thought I was bugging them.
No, but then that's your shot. Once you get them on the line, that's your shot to be in, you know, carry that enthusiasm over the phone. What did Deloitte & Touche offer that no other company did?
Long
that's,
hours.
That's when you get them.
Okay. Okay, so you get – let me just ask, though. You call someone five times till you get them, and when they call you back
– I will leave a voicemail five times. If they don't call back after the fifth time, then I'm done. If I get somebody live and the first time they say, no, I'm not interested, I will call them back a week later and say, you know, we talked last week, and I know you've had an opportunity to think about what I've presented. Is there anyone you know, now that you've thought about it, is there anyone you know? And I usually close the first conversation with that, but I'll call back. And they will typically, if I get voice-to-voice with them, give me somebody else. Then I will wait. If it's a difficult-to-fill position, if it becomes protracted, I will call again. I will call that person again, and I've actually had candidates step up on the third live conversation.
Okay, so let me get something straight, first of all. You'll call five times, but you won't leave the voicemail every time.
No, I will leave the voicemail.
Oh, you will?
I will leave the voicemail. I will leave a voicemail and give them the opportunity to, and by the fifth call, I'm leaving a detailed voicemail. You know, the first one is a little, hey, it's Rayanne, give me a call back.
tell us your first voicemail. Do it for me here, okay?
Sure. Hi, this is Rayanne Trumbo with Associates, and I am working on a search in the Midwest, and I thought you might have an interest. Could you give me a call back?
That's it. What's your second one?
Hey, I left you a voicemail last week. I'm still working on that recruitment in the Midwest. I looked over your profile. Yes, I found you on LinkedIn. Great tool, huh? I thought maybe we could chat a little bit, and you could help me define maybe what the needs are in the Midwest. Could you call me back?
And they want to help you for no reason at all?
Sure.
Okay. Also, you said, I called you last week, you just said. So how many days do you leave between the first call and the second voicemail?
Sometimes only two. It depends on how desperate the search is.
Okay, third call.
Beginning of the search?
Third call. Let's hear it.
Hi there. This is Rayanne Trumbo. I have left you a couple of voicemails. I hope I'm not bugging you. I just wanted to touch base with you and let you know that we are looking specifically for an account representative to oversee Chicago and the surrounding areas. And this is the company. This is what the pay is. This is what we're willing to do for you. I think you'd be a great candidate. Give me a call back.
Okay. And
so I go into further detail each time.
Okay. Should we do the last one since we're this far? Is it much the same?
It's much the same, except I will just continue to press. Give me a call back.
Really? Maureen, Maureen, I got a question for you. She's got a sweeter voice than me. You think that's the problem, the difference? Do I sound a little overbearing on the phone?
Do you sound
overbearing? Call me back! What is this? Three times already. I haven't heard from you yet.
I'd call Rayanne back before I call you back.
Okay.
I think the key is the whole honesty thing. A lot of sales is the cloak and dagger. And I have to tell you, the first recruiting job I had, my employer told me, don't leave any details, nothing. Just say, I'm looking for some help. Could you call me back? And actually, my first position was just doing a little name generation. You know, so I was making up stories. This is Annie Thompson from UCLA, and I'm getting ready to put on a conference, and I want to make sure that your information is correct. You know, I was making up stuff to try and get people to call me back.
When they called you back and they saw that you weren't Annie Thompson,
They typically didn't call back because that was just name gen. I was just checking names and numbers.
Okay.
So.
I don't understand what you just said. I'm slowing the show down myself, Rayanne. Well, it's going to be out of time soon anyway. Referrals. You obviously have some secrets about getting referrals. You ask for them out of the blue to strangers, and you're saying they give them to you. I don't have that kind of success. What is it you do?
I just say, I know, look, you've been in the industry this long. I know you know people. And I would really like for you to help me out. Maybe you know somebody that's looking to make a change. Maybe you know somebody that's a little disgruntled at where they are. Maybe you know somebody that would like to make a little more money. And I always, when I sign off a candidate, I always ask for a referral. It sounds like a slam, but it works. It's golden every time.
What do you mean when you sign off a candidate? What does that
mean? When I tell them they are not getting the job.
Oh, really?
Yep.
When you turn off a candidate, you ask for a referral to replace them.
Yep.
How do you do that?
I start the conversation with, I wanted to let you know that we did hear back from the hiring manager, and it looks like this one's going to get away from you. This is the worst call I have to make in my job. I don't like doing it, but I wanted you to know as soon as I knew. And they always are appreciative of that because many, many people have experience with search firms that never call them back. So they like the fact that I call them back. And then
Do they ask you why? Do they ask you why they were rejected?
They sometimes ask why. Other times they know why.
When they don't know and they ask you, when they think they're the best candidate, what do you say?
Well, if I have been given feedback, I will generally give it to them honestly. If I have not been given feedback, I will say, you know, they typically don't share with us why not, only why yes.
That's a transparent lie. Sorry.
Well,
it is. We always know.
Well, not always. Not always.
Was that too harsh? Was that too harsh? I'm sorry, Ray.
No, it wasn't too harsh. We don't always know.
I just wanted to
convey. A lot of times I'm sent an email. The hiring manager will send me an email. No, no, no on that one. Yes on this one. They don't have time to give me a debrief on every interview they've done.
Okay. Wow. Does everybody agree with her on that?
And then, okay, so I've transitioned through signing them off, told them why or why not, and then I will say, what's your ideal next position? What can I put down for next time so that I know when a new opportunity comes my way to call you? What is your ideal next position? And they always like talking about themselves.
Yeah, but you already know their ideal next position, don't you?
No, because then they come out and say, well, you know, this one wasn't exactly right. I would like to live in Chicago, or maybe if you hear something in Florida, give me a call.
Yep.
Or I want the next position, I want a director position, so don't call me unless it's a director position.
And then
I say, so you've done research on the company, you know all about the position, you've interviewed the vice president, is there anybody you know that might be a good fit?
And
they usually give me someone.
Really? You know what? They don't see you as too self-seeking at that point or too forward.
No, because I've been that way all along. I've been open. I've been forthright.
Harry Joyner, the marketing headhunter, he gets his dead candidates, like this person you just turned off, he gets them to tell the next candidate all about the job. Do you think you'd ever try that?
I don't know if I could do that.
Okay. It gets chummy with these people, I guess. Okay, that was very interesting.
Yeah, I do the same thing. Typically, I've actually had candidates that have become friends that didn't get the job.
Okay.
So.
Okay, now I asked you, for the first time, I got this from Jeremiah Aoyang. When he puts together a panel, he said, he gives them all, so he doesn't have to do all the work, he gives each panelist instructions to take five or three things they want people to take away from the show. I know you did that homework.
I did.
Diligent girl. So
I did.
Let's start doing that. See, because we might not have enough time to finish it.
My number one rule for myself and that I try to remember every day is just basically the golden rule. I want to treat candidates and clients the way that I want to be treated. And there are two factors for me. That's honesty. So I tell them when they didn't get the job, or I tell them if I have that information why they didn't get the job. And also I will tell clients, look, you're way underpaying. You need to step it up. We're never going to get the person that you want for that price. And then I keep them in the loop, candidates and clients. Calling them back, letting them know if the search is becoming
difficult. Something I didn't ask you before, Rayanne. Do you believe that a recruiter has to specialize or be a generalist? Because when you were at the startup, you were a real generalist, right?
Right. I was a generalist. But I started as a specialist. So
Which makes more sense?
I think it makes more sense if you're new to recruitment, specializing is the best. It's very difficult to handle being a generalist to start. So I think specializing in something and then branching out as you go.
Really? So you believe in – but you're a specialist again, right?
I'm a specialist again, but now I have even more education and knowledge behind me about this craft. So
okay, let's leave that one. What's your next point? Number two.
Have fun. What are you doing this for if you're not having fun, if it isn't something that you like? You know, get out of recruiting if you don't like talking and if you don't like people. Get out. There's no place for you.
Yeah, I don't think all recruiters like people, but they're good salespeople or they're aggressive salespeople or something like that.
They must be.
Recruiters. You don't have to like people to be a recruiter. Anybody disagree with me? Does anybody disagree? Okay, no, good.
What'd you say, Animal? What did you say?
Forget it. Number three.
He said you don't have to like people to be a recruiter.
What does she know? She's not a recruiter. She never tells anybody anything. Go ahead. She's an undercover agent.
I think networking and connecting developing relationships. That's what it's all about. And like I said earlier, my best friends I've met through this job. So.
Okay, you know what? I should have asked you that one earlier. Next time you come, I'm going to take you to task on that because you're calling up strangers, right? I mean,
right.
it's not all about networking and relationships, maybe in the long term. If you're working in a specialty, those IT contract recruiters.
Well, not every call it turns into a friendship.
That's not
every
what I
single
mean.
Call. There's
That's
just an
I mean.
Opportunity to connect with people.
Okay, but if you have a network, if you're working with all software salespeople, then you like Kevin Kermes. If he gets a network of people, he's working with the same candidate pool all the time. He builds relationships with
exactly.
those guys. If you're all over the place. You can't, you know, get a VP of engineering for some kind of auto product and then an administrative assistant for something else the next day and have a network in all those areas. It just
Sure you can. You just have to maintain that database and call people regularly. Send them emails. Set up a newsletter type thing that you send out regularly. There's a way to stay connected. Ask Dave Mendoza.
Okay. Number four.
I read a book called The Art of War for Women. And one of the things that I learned in that book was turning your liabilities into assets. And I have done that recently with my change in recruiting and software. Now, I came to this industry knowing nothing about software, save a little bit of technology that I learned in my last position. And so I would call clients and say, I'm brand new to software. I would little Bo Peep it. Can you help me? You know?
Very effective. That's very effective. Even in sourcing, that's very effective.
You know,
yeah.
Maureen memorized The Art of War by Sun Tzu. She went to Catholic school.
Oh, Maureen, Read for Women by, I think it's Chin Ning Chu. It's fabulous.
Okay.
It's wonderful.
I'll bet that's not the author's real name. It's Sally Jones or something like that.
What did
Maybe.
You say that it does? It's turning something into assets?
Turn your liabilities into your assets.
Your weaknesses, Maureen. Liability is a weakness.
I'm running a chat over on Recruiting Blogs. I'm taking some heat for it, Animal, just so you know.
Okay.
From a
don't take
of members.
Heat. I don't care if this is
I'm not taking
or
any
not.
Heat. I mean, they're giving me heat, but I'm typing this stuff in as we go along. It's
yeah,
interesting.
Okay,
I'll send you the chat
you.
Log.
Just pay attention to your own thing. Then.
Okay.
Okay. So.
And my last thing is figure out your one thing. Several years ago, there was a movie called City Slickers that came out, and I kind of took the mantra that Jack Palance says right in the middle of the movie when he looks
do push-ups.
Billy Crystal's character, no. And he says, dude, you got to figure out your one thing. Find out what your one thing is. And Billy Crystal's character turns to him and says, what's that? And he says, that's for you to find out. So you have to find out what your one thing is. You have to find out what is it that gives you strength? What is it that gets you up in the morning? What is that thing that gets you through the day that helps you make it through the night that is your driving force? You have to decide what that is for yourself. Is it a power greater than you? Is it your work? Is it your family? Is it school? Is it continuing that education? Is it finding out that one thing that brings you enthusiasm and passion in your life? Find out what that is.
Yeah, that's a lifetime thing. You take a lot of sustenance from messages from the popular media. Am I right about that, Rayanne?
Yes.
You got the movie before you had the No Excuse book. I'm glad that it's there. Our show is at an end. You have a last word for me? I'm happy you came.
Thank you.
You
yes, I
up.
Do, actually, and this refers back to the show that I missed.
Yes.
Shaving is almost always a good thing.
Shaving. Okay, you know what? Let's leave that for another time because I have a lot of detailed comments on that. And not all of them might be appropriate for the show. I don't know.
Thank you never know.
You, we're going to go. I know we're going to lose a lot of people, but we're going to go in a second to Talk Sourcing, the show all about telephone sourcing. But, Rayanne, I hope you call in because I have a lot more to talk to you about. You'll call in and I'll argue with you when you're in the audience yourself.
Sounds great. Thanks,
Take
Anna.
Care.
Thanks, Marie.
Bye.
Bye, Rayanne.
Again. Good. Hey, welcome everybody to Talk Sourcing, the show about telephone sourcing with Maureen Sharib, the queen bee of telephone sourcing. Maureen,
yes.
It's not just you and me. You got two
Ooh.
Other people here.
Okay.
And this is
the
greatest show
on
earth. This is the greatest show on earth, and I'm going to talk more about your Ning Magic Method group in a second, but I'm just going to want to see if these people have the guts to identify themselves to us. Area code 603. If you're a lurker, that's okay with me, but if you want to speak up, now's your chance.
Hi, Maureen. It's Maria Kent.
Hey, how are you?
Maria,
how are you?
Are you on the Ning group?
I'm not, but I will. I can't get access to it through my work computer, so.
You know, they say like 60-some percent of companies block networking sites.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, 60-some percent.
But I have
problem.
To say that, Maria,
for
that
us that
group,
are trolling.
I will personally, if you want, I will personally send you all that stuff. Maureen, you should actually post links to it on Facebook, but we can talk about that later. But Maureen's
okay.
got that chat group Tuesdays and Thursdays, 12 till 1, Eastern Daylight Savings Time, Eastern Seaboard mm-hmm. Time, whatever you guys call it there. And it's really good. People, there's lots of people, way more than ever, call into this show. They show up. They ask her all their questions so they can get free consultations. And she gives it to them, right? And it's really valuable information. I don't believe you'll find anywhere else in the same easy format. Okay? So that's a good plug, isn't it, Maureen?
It's a very good plug.
magicmethod.ning.com. I'm not the kind of person who would say anything nice about Maureen if I didn't believe it, okay? But there you go. Or in about anybody else either.
I don't think you've missed one show, have you?
I actually have, Maureen, but I won't say it on this show.
I don't think you've missed one show, have you? One chat?
No, because you hired me as a secretary. Yes, I did miss one. I'm working for free, but you had your daughter do it one time. This stinking chat machine they've got there, I don't know if anyone's going to listen. It doesn't work very well. It doesn't copy the
Well, listen, the Recruiting Blogs chat worked fine, but I was the only one talking except for a couple people that were giving me heck for doing it.
Okay. Area code, before they all leave, area code 614. Do you want to say hello?
Columbus.
It's Trisha Manick. Hi.
Hey, Trisha. We haven't heard from you for a long time, but welcome back. Okay, so let me ask, first of all, either Trisha or Maria, do you have a question for Maureen?
I don't. I was just here to listen in.
Oh, okay.
Trisha, did you go to the Magic Method Ning group? Have you joined that?
I haven't.
Okay, so we have a chat on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 12 to 1.
Yeah, she just heard it. Maureen, come on, you overdo it, okay? I just said it.
That's my
I was
obsessive
just pushing
compulsive.
It as hard as I could.
That's my obsessive compulsive.
Yeah, okay. Well, you need me to rein you in. Nobody's listening to the show anymore. All I'm doing is chatting about advertisements and stuff. Maria, do you have something you'd like to ask Maureen?
I don't. Today's my first day joining in, so I figured I'd just listen.
Okay. Well, Maureen, I'm working on a search for an HR manager, okay?
Okay.
Maybe you wanna tell me what you would do. I'll ask a question.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm looking for an HR manager. What would you do if I gave that search to you?
What kind of a company are you looking?
It's a mining firm, very large. However,
mining. You're talking about like mining in the earth?
Yeah. Cool.
An engineering firm. Okay.
No, it's not engineering, it's mining. It is a technical firm, but if this is HR for the corporate office. I need someone with a strong background in compensation, benefits, employee relations, and performance management programs, right?
Okay.
Now, you don't necessarily have to get those people from mining companies.
Okay.
Professional services firms would be good.
All right. Well, what professional service companies are there? Do you know?
There's a number of HR consulting firms. Mercer.
Like what, Mercer? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, those firms are filled with people.
Thanks. Hey, Maria, is that good advice you just gave me? A human resources consulting firm is filled with people. I wouldn't have known.
Well, you've done the hardest part of the search when you've identified who your targets are going to be. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so let's just get you on the record for that. The hardest part
one of the hardest parts. Of a search is identifying the appropriate targets.
Okay.
Companies that will have the types of people that you want that are similar, that have the similar characteristics that your customer is looking for.
Okay, Florida's here. I don't know if that's Amy or not, but somebody else just joined. They can say hi if they want to.
Is that 561?
I can't say.
Okay, you can't say. Okay, go ahead though. So I haven't identified all of them, but I could go to any number of companies. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, the first thing I would do is I would look for some names online.
Yes.
So that I have names. Now, I'm assuming that you need these in a specific geographic area.
Toronto.
Okay. So I would go look for people that are inside those Toronto offices. And then once I had those names, I would call in and I would work to build out those groups. You know, LinkedIn is a wonderful resource for this because many times these people will have profiles that will give you some indication of what they have in their backgrounds.
You talk a little louder and into your phone, Maureen, or something.
I am,
make sure.
But I'll talk louder. I'm on my headset.
Okay.
Not my headset, my handset. Okay?
Yes.
So once you have some names, you call in and you work to expand those groups that those people belong to.
Okay.
Now, they're going to have a lot of managers. You have to figure out what they're calling their people internally. They might be calling them consultants. They might be calling them managers. They might be calling them associates. And one way to determine that is to go to their website and look at their job page to see what it is they're advertising for.
Okay.
All right.
So we've called into the professional services company. What do we say at the front desk?
Okay. The gatekeeper answers. What do you do? Now, you know this from class. What do you do, animal?
From class? I feel you're making me feel like a little girl.
What do you do?
You say, hi, my name's Maureen Sherrup.
Okay. What else
I don't
do
know
do?
What else you say. What do you say?
Okay. When she answers, she has probably told you her name. Most gatekeepers, receptionists, let's call them receptionists,
right.
will answer the phone. Hi, this is Mercer in Toronto. Maria speaking. May I help you?
Yes.
Yes, Maria, I hope so. This is Maureen Sherrup in the United States. I would say that if I were calling into Canada. Can you please direct me to, and then I would give her the name that I have, knowing that chances are I'm not going to hit that person. I'm going to hit that person's voicemail.
Yep.
But before she sends me off, I'm going to work her for some more names, and this is how I'm going to do it. Maria, before you send me off, can you tell me, does that person have an extension number or a direct dial? Now, animal, why do I want an extension number or a direct dial? You know the answer to this.
So you can call back in yourself later on for the...
If I have to. If she gives me the extension numbers or the direct dials, many times that will reveal that office's internal phone system.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can't get anywhere with anybody in that office, I will resort to just stabbing in, calling in blindly. But I need that, you know, that range of numbers in which to call in.
Okay, and they don't resist giving you that information about
no,
the direct
not usually.
Dial number.
No. Well, some companies have a policy where they may say, well, he has to give that to you himself. That's fine. Okay. But most of them will give you an extension number or a direct dial. If I had to put a percentage to it, I'd say 65-70% will give you the extension number or a direct dial.
Uh-huh.
All right. So you
get the voicemail. That's where we can
No,
left
I'm
off.
Not there yet. I'm still with the receptionist. I haven't
oh.
left her yet. Okay.
Oh.
So I've given her a name. I've identified myself. I've repeated her name back to her. Why do I do that? Because her name is the most beautiful word in the language.
Okay,
correct?
And the people in your group,
mm-hmm.
your Ning group, they've been totally wowed by that. You've got a lot of feedback, I've noticed.
I mean, immediately people started sending me email. Hey, I started doing that. It's working. I can't believe it, blah, blah, blah. I mean, yeah, it's so simple. It's stupid.
Okay, area code 815, do you want to say hello or do you just want to lurk there?
Hey there.
Who is this?
My name is Melissa Wilhelm. I'm a recruiter
Hi.
With American Marketing and Publishing. Hello.
How are you?
Hi. So you'll,
I'm good.
Yep,
Let me just close my door. Hang on a second.
Okay, well, she's going to talk later, Maureen. You finish with me first, okay?
Okay.
I got this account.
Okay, well, we can't afford to run anybody off, so let's be nice to her, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, now tell her. We'll talk
to her. We
don't
usually get to talk about somebody behind their back, right? Let me close the door. She made a fatal mistake. Okay, I'm going to finish asking my question, Melissa, and then you'll have a chance, right?
Great.
Do you have a question, or are you just lurking, listening?
No, just listening.
Do
okay.
you have a question? No?
Not at this point, no.
Okay, so then Maureen.
All right, so I'm not finished with her. I'm going to work her over.
I have a question.
No,
who is that,
okay.
Amy?
Yeah, who else?
Okay. Go ahead.
I don't have a
Talk
question.
Into the phone, okay?
Okay, so...
No,
let's
he
go back.
Has a question.
I thought he
no,
said
I said,
he
how do you, I said, how do you know I don't have a question?
Oh, go ahead. Maureen,
okay.
Come on, I'm losing everybody.
All right, so she has said to me, she's identified herself, and I have repeated her name back to her. I have told her who I am. I have done what when I told her who I am. I have removed the mystery. I have taken away any question or not any question, but I've taken away any doubt she might have in her mind about who this person is, why are they asking for the information they're asking for. So I said to her, hi, Maria, this is Maureen Cherub calling from the States. Can you please direct me to? And I give her a name that I've already found in my prior research. And before she sends me off to that person, I'll interrupt her and I'll say, before you send me off, can you give me his extension number or his direct dial just in case I get disconnected? Because sometimes you do get disconnected, right? But I say that. It makes sense to her, so 65-75% of the time she will give me that direct dial or extension number. I'm still not finished. Thanks, Maria. By the way, before you send me off again, does he have an administrative assistant in case I can't reach him? And I'll say it slowly like that, in case I can't reach him, because that registers with her, and she knows that most of her transfers go to voicemails. 8 out of 10 transfers will go to a voicemail. That makes sense to her. So usually she'll give me the administrative assistant, right? So I have the administrative assistant. I'm still not done. I'll say to her, Maria, before you send me off again, and I kind of make a joke out of it at this point, you know, and we're friendly with each other, I'll say, does she have an extension number or a direct dial? Why do I want that? Again, I want to know. I want to learn more about the internal phone system. Sometimes people in groups will have direct dials or extension numbers that lie close to each other. So if his was 3456 and hers was 3457, there's a pretty good chance that other members in that group might be 3458, 3459, 3560. You follow me?
Yep.
Okay. I'm still not done. Maria, now I'm listening very carefully to how she's reacting to me because I can hear in her voice if she's growing frustrated, growing weary, growing irritated with me, and sometimes they do. And you have to listen for that, and you have to let them off the hook. You don't want to, you know, close any doors. But if she still sounds amenable, I'll say to her, Maria, in case I can't reach the admin, let's say her name is Sheila, in case I can't reach Sheila, is there anybody else in the group I might try so I don't have to come back and bother you? Okay? Now, I'm pretty close to being finished with her because usually, you know, 2, 3, 4 names is all you can expect out of a first call, but it's still a good number to hit with out of a first call. And my motive, what I'm doing is I'm trying to pick up whole groups usually within companies, so that works for me. Does that answer you, Animal?
You just got started. What happens when you go through?
When I go through. Okay, somebody asked me this question today. I don't want to talk to anybody until I really have the group fleshed out. If somebody picks up the phone, let's say she transfers me to one of those persons, if the admin picks up, I'll talk to her. I'll say to her something to the effect, I would like to speak to so-and-so, but I hid his voicemail. Is there anybody else in the group I might try? Sometimes she'll give me additional names. So the point I'm trying to make here is I ask simple questions, single questions. I don't ask 2, 3 questions at one time. I ask for simple small pieces of information at a time, and I extract that, and I keep putting all of it into my research document. And then when I get off the phone, I look at it, and I've got a good body of information that I can coalesce.
What if you call that HR manager, and that person picks up the phone, the one you got from LinkedIn?
Okay, I don't want to speak to him.
Yeah, I know.
Just yet. I would hang up the phone.
Oh,
or
really?
I would say, I'm sorry, I have the wrong number, and hang up the phone. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, just bang the phone down. Although, let me tell you something. When I first started sourcing some years ago, the guy I started working for, I would be filled with all these questions, too. What do I do? What happens if? You know, I would, you know, always be thinking, oh, well, what's going to happen? Most of those things never happen. But so I would ask him, what do I do? What do I say? What if he asks me something? And Richard said to me one day, he said, Maureen, he said, just hang the damn phone up. It's just a phone. And he was right. Just hang the phone up if you get freaked out.
Okay, but you don't talk to that person. You don't try to get information from the
Not usually.
So who are you then targeting for your information? Only admin people?
Well, my first line are the admin people and the executive assistants, you know, the executive assistant to the C-level or to the VP.
So if you're calling Harvey, the HR manager, and he's not available and you hit zero, you bounce through to his admin, presumably,
right.
Let's say he's got one,
okay.
Which is not usual these days, but let's say you get through, what are you going to say to her? Should we talk about that?
Yeah. Let's say her.
Anybody else want to say anything? No. Okay.
Do we have
anybody
left?
If I can, I missed the very beginning of the call, so I was trying to figure out how the HR, you kept asking the question, what if the HR person calls you? Is that, I missed who that, how
she,
that was
she got some names from LinkedIn. She did some research on LinkedIn or on the
or
net.
Or on Google. I mean, you won't always find stuff on LinkedIn, but
you'll find
stuff somewhere.
This is a search for an HR director. I think that's
manager.
A manager.
Somebody like that has what, comp benefits experience? What else
comp,
did you say?
Employee relations and performance management systems.
Okay.
Now, sometimes there's HR managers. There's more than one in an organization. One is in charge of recruiting. That's their main focus. Somebody else is in charge of this kind of stuff. So you can't just get the HR manager. You have to get some, like you said, build out a whole range of people. So we're at the second admin person. Do you want to talk about that or any other questions?
No, I think you answered my question. Thank you.
Okay.
But first of all, I think we need to go back. We need to identify the right vertical once we're in there. We need to identify the group that's doing comp and benefits. And
how do you do that?
Well, that's where things like LinkedIn are so helpful because many people fill out their profiles and some of those read like resumes. You know, they put their experience up there. So if you find a guy at Mercer who has that in his background, if you can pick up his entire group, you've more than likely got people that have the same skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, but going for finding somebody like that, it'll be interesting to see what Charlie says in your group. He's the guest.
Mm-hmm.
But let me see. But
if you want to go to LinkedIn right now, I mean, we could do a trial run just to
No, I don't want to do that right now, Mark.
Okay, because I believe they're up there. You'll find people. I don't know if you'll find people in the Toronto
office. Okay, so your answer to me is that when I say you're not likely to find somebody like that, you're saying you can.
But
really, you did this before LinkedIn was hot, right?
Yes. I use the Internet.
Well, you always used the Internet.
I always use the Internet.
Okay, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So every time before I would get on the phone, I would do Internet research. To give me some names into companies. Or the guy I started working with, he had a database. You know, he would send me, people that they had identified in the past.
Uh-huh.
So I would use those names and work those names, you know, to get
you always try to have a name.
I always try to have a name, yeah. Yeah, usually. I mean, there are some things I can call up and get, you know, just off the bat. Don't ask me what. I'm drawing a blank right now, but I usually try to have some names before I make that call.
Okay. And so we're at
the admin.
Second admin.
Okay. So his administrative assistant picks up, and I say to her, now I hit his voicemail, right? I hit zero, and I bounced into her voicemail. She picks up, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's say her name is Lisa. Lisa, this is Maureen Cherub, and then I will repeat maybe the receptionist's name, because remember, when the receptionist answered, I typed her name down. I know what her name was.
Maria?
Maria. I keep all these records, all these notes. I'll say, Lisa, Maria transferred me to Joe Blow. Let's say his name is Joe Blow, but I hit his voicemail, and maybe you can help me. Is there anyone else in his group I might try? And I keep it that simple. I've got a 50-50 chance at that point that she'll point me at other people. Again, I work her just like I did Maria. Maria, or Lisa, in case I can't reach him, is there anybody else? Again, 50-50 chance of her giving me an additional name or more names.
Okay, what if she gives you that one name? Do you go for another at the same time?
I always go for more. I always go until I sense I can't go for more.
Like, give me an example.
I always
How do you do
her.
That?
What?
Like if you say Harry, what if Harry's not there? Is there somebody else I should speak to? She says, okay, here's Tom. You then say, what if Tom's not there? And she says, Dick. And then you say, well, what if Harry, Tom, and Dick are there?
Yeah, basically. Yes, I do. I know it sounds dumb, but that's how it works. But, you know, I sound, I think I sound friendly, and I sound kind of comrade. What's the word? I strive to arrive at her desk sounding rather familiar. When I say Maria transferred me to Joe Blow's desk, but I got his voicemail. Can you help me? So in my voice, I immediately try to engage her, and many times I do. And because I mentioned the receptionist's name and I mentioned his name and I identified myself, I removed the mystery, many times that's enough information to get her to answer my questions. Don't ask me why, that's how it works.
Okay, it sounds funny, though. I mean, let's say there's six people on a team. You're not getting them all then by that method in one call, are you?
I might.
Oh, really?
I might. I mean, you'd be surprised. Sometimes she'll give me two or three names. Let's say there's eight people on the team. She'll give me two or three names, and I'll say, I'll ask her at some point, how many people are there? And she might tell me, and she might not. But I keep saying, is there anyone else? Anyone else? You know, again, I keep it very simple, very short questions. Anyone else?
It depends on the person, don't you think?
It does. It absolutely depends.
Speaking to, I mean, I've gotten raw offers of information from some receptionists, and I could barely get two names from other
people.
There
you go. Yeah, it depends on the person you're speaking with. But this is a numbers game, and you have to remember, about 50% of the time you call, you're going to get information right off the bat from the receptionist, the gatekeeper. Now, as your skills increase, you're going to get information 60, 70, 80, 90% of the time you make a call.
Okay.
All right.
Anybody else want to ask a question? No?
But that's
They're
a good
all
point.
Silent.
That's a good point. It absolutely does depend on the person on the other end. And you can hear, usually, who said that? Was that Maria?
I did, and I agree. No, it's Melissa.
Melissa.
You can absolutely kind of feel out the person, and you definitely get a sense of who you're speaking to. I mean, sometimes you can tell that it's like a temp reception. I mean, that's the best day is if you can get someone who is temping there at the front desk. I mean, they have no idea what they're doing. Yeah.
That's
so
the truth. That's...
sometimes it's just the day that you call in. You know, it's just there's so many variables.
That's one of the concerns you've always raised, Animal. Well, what if you call back the next day and they remember your voice? The chances are she's not going to answer the next day. They might have a temp. They might have somebody out to lunch. It's a real crapshoot, but chances are it's going to be somebody different answering that phone on the second, third, fourth day. That's why you keep notes.
Yeah.
And you call on the second day.
I tend to get that a lot.
What?
I'm sorry to cut you off. I tend to get that a lot, though. I do not disguise my voice well at all. So
right.
I tend to get that often. I always say, you know what I do? I get that all the time. I'm not sure who I remind you of, but this is my first call or whatever the case may be. I just play it off like, oh, yeah, I get that a lot.
Okay, I see.
Mm-hmm.
I see what you're saying.
Okay, but let's say what happens on this. You know, maybe we should save for next time. What happens on the second call? Let's go. Let's save that one for next time. Although, if anybody in the crowd has a question, Maria, Melissa, Amy, or Tricia, we haven't heard anything from you. Do you have anything to say for us?
I don't really.
Sorry. Are you a sourcer, Tricia?
I do source, but I'm a recruiter also, corporate.
Okay, but you do your own sourcing on the front end?
I do.
Do you do telephone sourcing or do you do internet sourcing?
It's more internet. I don't do a lot of telephone sourcing.
Why don't you?
She's an internal corporate recruiter.
No, don't answer for her.
Okay.
The answer might surprise you. Why don't you do it?
Well, I mean, I will find people over the internet, and then I will call, and I might say, hey, have you met, or hey, have... Sorry, my phone's ringing. You know, who sits next to you? I might do something like that, but I don't
mm-hmm.
do... Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, then I guess I do both.
Okay. So you'll find somebody online, and you'll call them, and you'll source them for more names.
Right.
Do you,
and, you know, and even if they're not the right fit, I might say, or they might say, I'm not really looking. And I say, well, who sits next to you? You know, what's
mm-hmm.
their name? And
really?
I think maybe.
That's interesting
what I would
to
call
me.
A referral, but that works.
Yeah, does that work?
It has in the past.
Do you send them a picture first?
No.
Because, well, Tricia, I should tell you, some people told me they liked your picture. You got a lot of good reviews on your picture.
Yeah,
Tricia was a guest on my show a couple of months ago.
Okay.
A fun one. Fun
okay.
one. Although somebody said I went too easy on you. She said you walked all over me. Can you believe that?
Really? I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
Another woman said it. She said said I was assist.
Well, women can be more critical of other women.
I guess so.
Yeah.
And other and more critical of other men.
Well, you were just being nice to me because it was my first time, right?
Maybe. But I'm not being nice now, but you sound depressed today. Are you having a hard time?
No. No, not at all. I needed to take a break, and I thought, you know, I need to get on and start listening every week again, and I just haven't had a chance. I've been really busy.
Well, you're with the real Zen master of whatever it is now, telephone sourcing. You have anything else you want to grill her about, Maureen? You've got a lot of questions. Ask her your survey questions.
Ask her the survey question? Yeah, that's a good idea, but I'm a little more interested in why she prefers internet sourcing over telephone sourcing. Do you find the phone scary, Tricia?
No, not
you
at
don't.
All.
Okay.
I do like to talk on the phone, but I think I find more people over the internet than over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to find more. I mean, you know, it's
What are you placing? What kind of positions are you placing?
IT, sales, customer service.
And you find those on the internet? I guess customer service.
IT, for the most part, I'll find
IT
like through Google. And then LinkedIn, I can find just about any of my positions, except maybe in the warehouse. I do some warehouse positions also.
Have you been filling positions with LinkedIn candidates?
Mm-hmm. The sales positions, I think, are the easiest ones, account executives. And.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say that I filled them. I found people that way.
You found people, right, okay. You found people through other people.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's good.
Maureen, I don't want to say the show is over, but it is.
Okay.
Tricia, call back another time.
I will.
See everybody else later. Thank you for calling in. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.